commencing countdown.
3, 2, 1.
This is the Contracting Experience. Connecting government contracting professionals to the world around them through conversations with acquisition influencers, insights into evolving hot topics, and sharing lessons learned from the field.
Welcome, podcast listeners. On this episode of The Contracting Experience, we sit down with Ms. Brittany Burton, Chief of Contracting for the Air Force Security Assistance and Cooperation Directorate, or AFSAC, here at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Joining Brittany is her Deputy Division Chief, Ms. Amanda Smith. Brittany and Amanda are here today to give us a brief overview of AFSAC, their roles and responsibilities, and the contracting nuances of working foreign military sales. Welcome, Brittany and Amanda. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Rob. Thank you so much for this opportunity. We are very excited to have this conversation today.
Yes, thank you very much, Rob, for having us in today. We are excited to discuss FMS contracting.
All right, excellent. Well, let's start off by first explaining the mission of AFSAC, like how you're organized, the customers you support. Brittany, can you educate us a little bit in that regard?
Absolutely. So our mission in AFSAC is to deliver air, space, and cyberspace capabilities to strengthen those international partnerships and advance our national security. Our vision within AFSAC is to be your trusted air, space, and cyberspace power and partner. And of course, within that, we have our own specific contracting mission that the team has actually came together to create. And that is to provide contracting solutions for our international partners in support of the Air Force Global Partnership Strategy. Our internal WFK or contracting mission is in line and lockstep with the AFSAC mission. AFSAC also has 9 divisions, contracting being one of them. This includes finance, policy, IT operations. We have a global facility support branch, intelligence, along with international logistics and support as well. WF supports multiple customers across the entire world, and we currently have 96 countries in our portfolio.
Wow, quite the portfolio indeed. So that sounds incredibly complex. So following up on that, Brittany, your title is Chief of Contracting. So what does your day-to-day office job look like there? Are you more involved in the high-level strategy, or do you still get your hands dirty with specific FMS cases?
Yes, yeah, so I am able to do both, which I really like. I'm able to work on those high-level strategic items, especially with all the changes that we have within the FMS community right now. But I'm able to work closely with my team to answer any specific questions regarding FMS cases that they are executing. We have a very small but mighty team, which allows me that flexibility to be able to do both aspects of the job. But coming down to my day-to-day activities, they change every day, which makes it challenging and fascinating and exciting at the same time. I really have no idea what challenges will be ahead of me each day. So I guess overall I'm able to do both.
All right, excellent. Well, let's bring Amanda into the conversation here. So, Amanda, a major focus of AFSAC is leading AFMC's foreign military sales enterprise. Can you share what that looks like? For example, do you oversee like the entire FMS portfolio for Air Force Materiel Command?
Great question, Rob, and thank you for the opportunity to explain AFSAC in our portfolio. Yes, the AFSAC director does complete all FMS sales for the Air Force. This team doesn't work in a vacuum, though, as our other divisions, as Ms. Burton had outlined, outside of the contracting within AFSAC, do work closely together with the Department of State and the Defense Security Cooperation Agency to receive that letter of request, and then following on with a letter of offer and acceptance from countries all over the world. So just a quick snippet of our portfolio. Currently, AFSAC FMS portfolio includes, as Ms. Burton said, 96 countries, 9 which are NATO agencies. We have 2,943 active cases, that are valued just at $369 billion with 210 work in progress or undelivered assets. It's an extensive portfolio that continues to grow year after year.
All right, that's awesome. And then just to get our hands around this, 96 countries, nine NATO agencies, $210 billion in work. How big is your contracting staff?
Yeah, so our staff actually consists of roughly around 22 individuals, including Ms. Burton and myself and our managers. We have two branches. We have the WFKG, which is our global branch, which does more of the true FMS, global interaction with the countries. And then we have the WFKC branch that does more of the corporate type of efforts, the ANAS, the different types of services, IT buys. So we're, as Ms. Burton said, small but mighty, and we're able to work through that entire portfolio.
All right. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. So can you walk us through a simplified real world example? Let's say a partner nation wants to procure, say, an F-35. How does that initial request evolve into a contract executed by your team?
That is a great question, and that is something that people confuse a lot with AFSAC. So once we actually receive that LOA, we look at which PEO, or now PAE, will execute the contract for those requirements in that LOA. So for example, if a country wants to purchase an F-35, we turn that LOA for those aircraft to the F-35 contracting community across the Air Force. We then turn those LOAs over to the experts for those requirements. We don't have the expertise here in WFK to purchase an F-35, so we lean on that F-35 contracting group. But that does not mean here in AFSAC we do not execute any contracts, as we execute those requirements that do not fit within a specific PEO. For example, we have an Iraq base support contract. We contract services from a contractor to provide security and base essential services in order for the Iraq government to house those F-16s on that base. We do work hand in hand with the F-16 office, but we are the ones that purchase those types of services. As this is just one example of many different types of contracts we execute here at AFSAC, but that explains a little bit more about our process once we get those LOAs.
All right, excellent. And Brittany, so that brings up an interesting point about the source of funds. So how does managing FMS funding, which comes from your foreign partners, differ from managing, say, U.S. taxpayer dollars? What are the key things a contracting officer needs to keep in the back of their pocket when navigating that?
So we all know contracting is contracting when it comes down to those specific tasks. But one specific thing to remember is that we are entrusted with our foreign partners to spend their money as diligently as we spend our own money. That is just one of the benefits that we're able to provide to our customers, is that we use the same rules and regulations under the FAR for their efforts as we do for our own. And it's actually one of the selling points for our customers, because they know we will provide them with the same services, protections that we do with our own money and requirements. However, there is some differences, because FMS funds are know-your money and they do not have those same restrictions placed on them as appropriated funds do. We also have to ensure that we label each contract with the types of funds we are using and identify those contracts. And it's generally, there's like a water stamp on the cover of the contract that will make that distinction. But in general, we just need to continue to follow the FAR when obligating the FMS funds or appropriated funds. So there are some differences, but there's a lot of similarities as well.
All right. Excellent. And so back to Amanda, we often hear the term total package approach in FMS. So for our listeners who might be in the weeds of a little more traditional contracting, can you break that down? How does it change the game for a contracting officer compared to a standard FAR Part 15 acquisition?
Yeah, so the total package approach is that the United States uses when selling our wares to other countries. It's the approach that sets us apart from our competitors. As we offer that final price that will include all costs for that aircraft, not just the cost of that specific aircraft. For example, the United States would discuss with a country the cost of building a hangar to house that aircraft, the cost to sustain that aircraft, maybe potentially a runway, or any other items that come in with that entire total package to keep that aircraft flying throughout the years. Because we don't want to have our partners and customers purchase an aircraft that just becomes a heavy paperweight after a few years because they haven't thought about the sustainment cost or the housing cost or how to be able to utilize that aircraft. So that is one benefit that we bring that our other competitors do not bring to the table when they sell their aircraft to other countries. We bring that total package approach.
All right. Excellent. Yeah. Kind of like similar to a FAR Part 15 acquisition, right? You want to put that sustainment cost up front, understanding that whole life cycle cost. So excellent. So building on that, back to Brittany here, AFSAC's mission explicitly mentions building partnerships. So how does the contracting function directly support that goal? Can you share an example of how a well-executed contract actually strengthened a relationship with a partner nation?
Absolutely. One specific contract that is executed within WFK is known as PROS. It's the Parts and Repair Ordering System. That's what that PRO stands for. This contract is so very unique all in its own because it supports all of our customers and it's not limited to just one country. Any country can utilize this effort if they are trying to acquire a hard to find or hard to repair part. Most of the countries use aging aircraft that may not have spare parts that are readily available or are even still being procured. So this contract, the PROS contract, provides those countries an opportunity to have a contractor seek out those parts that they need in order to keep their aircraft flying. There, we have one other contract that I think would be a great example of building those partnerships. It would be our WWRS, which is the Worldwide Warehouse Redistribution Service. We kind of refer to that as the eBay of contracts here within AFSAC. This contract also allows for all of our customers to utilize it, but it's a different angle than what PROS offers. In this contract, the USG sets up different countries that have extra parts for an aircraft that they may have retired, they're no longer using, and then another country actually may be looking for those aging aircraft parts. So this, that's a great opportunity for us to be that broker for all the countries to ensure that the aircraft continue to fly, and just overall a great way to continue building those partnerships with our nation, those four nations.
All right, thanks, Brittany. And Amanda, with so many moving parts and international partners, how do you handle the human element, like communication and potential cultural differences during negotiations? Are there like specific strategies your team employs to build that trust and rapport?
That is a great question and one of the misconceptions on how FMS contracting is executed. By the time that we receive that LOA from our country teams, we are now working directly with the contractors or conducting a source selection. This is the time the requirement becomes just a regular contracting action. We complete the same processes as we do in any other types of contracting efforts, and we work directly with those US-based companies. This is another benefit as to why countries want to purchase from the United States, though, because they know we have those laws and regulations in place and that their money is being spent in accordance with the FAR, as Ms. Burton had described above. Now, that doesn't say that we do not interact with the countries here in AFSAC, as AFSAC houses the majority of all of our foreign liaison officers, or called FLOs, here at Wright-Patterson. Contracting interacts with them and participates in all of the unique events the FLOs conduct. They cook different types of food for us on a regular basis. We conduct friendly sports competitions. And of course, we participate in the AFMC International Ball each year. We are also here to help answer any questions our FLOs may have. For example, Ms. Burton and myself had the opportunity to meet with the lead acquisition person from Canada. We got to spend the entire day with her and her team discussing how we contract here in the United States. And it was a great opportunity to work directly with contracting leadership from another country to learn how they do things and for us to explain how we do contracting. AFSAC provides those opportunities from our partners to learn from our partners from all around the world. It is an interesting organization to be able to have those experiences, to be able to interact with those countries.
All right, great. Now, thanks for that insight. That's really insightful there. And let's shift to maybe a career focus. So, Brittany, for our listeners who might be intrigued by this line of work, right, all these different countries, the different cultures, maybe there's some travel involved. What's the single biggest surprise a seasoned contracting person might encounter when moving into this FMS world?
Honestly, I think it's just the uniqueness in and of itself. It's contracting, but it's also interesting to see how many different stakeholders you work with on a daily basis and having to think outside of the box to provide them with those unique requirements. It's challenging, but it's also very rewarding. I've truly really enjoyed working in FMS, and I would highly encourage anyone that's interested to at least do a rotation or a tour through FMS just to get that different experience.
All right, excellent. And Amanda, to wrap it up, what is the most rewarding part of your job at AFSAC? Is there a moment that makes you step back and say, this is exactly why I do what I do?
Yeah, as Ms. Burton had discussed, it's a great opportunity to learn and to interact with those FMS foreign partners and have the opportunity to be able to learn something different. I was very excited to come over here and experience the FMS world, and I have learned a lot, and I am excited to come to work every day and do something different and challenging, and it's been a very rewarding experience, and I do agree with Ms. Burton that everybody should take the opportunity to do a rotation in FMS if you can.
All right. Excellent. And, you know, Amanda and Brittany, this has been a great conversation. I want to thank you both for joining us here on the Contracting Experience podcast. But before I let you go, I want to offer you any parting shots or drop the mic moment that you might have for our listeners. Amanda, let's start with you. Anything you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Rob, first want to take the opportunity to say thank you to allow Ms. Burton and myself the ability to talk about FMS contracting today. We have really enjoyed our time here in AFSAC, learning all those new contracting skills. And like I said before, we do recommend that everybody take that time to get an FMS experience or rotation. It's a great opportunity to learn new skills and grow your contracting knowledge. So really do appreciate your time today, Rob. Thank you.
Oh, excellent. Thanks, Amanda. And Brittany, back to you. Any parting shots from the AFSAC Chief of Contracting?
Yeah, so I echo Amanda's sentiment. We are very appreciative of your time today and giving us this opportunity. I am always excited to tell anyone about how exciting FMS is. FMS is constantly growing. There's new opportunities within AFSAC all the time. So always happy to answer anyone's questions if they ever want to reach out. But overall, I think AFSAC is just, it's a great place to work, and I truly enjoy it.
All right. Ms. Brittany Burton and Ms. Amanda Smith, thank you so much for sharing your experiences and insights on The Contracting Experience. This has been a great conversation, and I'm grateful you could both join us. So on behalf of the Contracting Experience podcast, all of our listeners and subscribers, thank you so much for joining us today. And a shout out to all of our podcast listeners, followers, and subscribers. If you have any feedback, suggestions for topics, or future guests you would like to hear on the podcast, you can submit those via email to thecontractingexperience@gmail.com. As a reminder, you can subscribe to the Contracting Experience podcast from any of your podcast listening platforms. Be sure to subscribe to receive updates and automatic downloads so you don't miss a single episode. I'm your host, Rob Lorton, from the AFMC Contracting Digital Division, and I hope you can join us again on our upcoming episodes. Until then, stay tuned and stay connected.